الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعلموا أن الله بما تعملون بصير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم At every moment in time there's a tremendous amount that is happening within the world. Not even within the world, within the universe. Atoms are buzzing in different directions and molecules are being formed and broken down, and that's on the atomic level. And on the microscopic level, cells are interacting throughout the universe and matter is forming and reforming, and people beyond that, animals, and then people. There's all this constant movement and action throughout the universe. It's mind-boggling the number of things that are going on in any millisecond in the universe. The amazing thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows each and every single thing that's happening at any moment. It's already amazing that those things are happening, honestly. Just the fact that the universe comes together in such an organized way and so many things are able to relate to so many things in such a balanced way. Chemical reactions occur and there's formulas and principles that underlie them. That's all amazing. But even more amazing is the fact that Allah knows at every single moment, every single thing that's happening. Now, just within the realm of human beings, we have all this action that occurs. And even as human beings interacting within the sphere of human beings, we are barely able to perceive and capture what happens amongst us. For example, and this is just a simplistic example that was coming to my mind as I was thinking about this, but you know, there's this Masjid project that's going on, which we've spoken about on so many different occasions, and you know, obviously we've been busy with that. Now, one day that masjid will be complete, and people will walk into that building, and they will say, oh, you know, this is a masjid, and this is a place that we pray. But what people will never be able to perceive is just the amount of tiny, tiny detail that was associated with that actual building being present before them. First of all, most people won't even appreciate that there's a masjid there, in the sense that they'll walk in and they'll walk out, but they won't ever think that, oh, this, you know, that this came from somewhere, that somebody had to do something in order to produce it, or some group of people historically made it. I mean, we walk into this building, you know, once a week. And when we walk into this building once a week, we don't walk in and think, subhanAllah, who built it? Who established it? How did it come here? How come we're able to pray here? What keeps it running? You know, most people walk in and walk out and they just take advantage of the opportunity and they don't think twice. But the reality is that every single thing has details behind it. And those details are very real. And those details, they required someone to sacrifice something in order for those to be attained. Now, the reality of human beings is that we then attribute these big events to a handful of people. And we're only able to do that because we don't have the ability to perceive the details. We don't have the ability to capture the details. It would completely overwhelm us. I mean, I'll give you an example in sports. You know, everybody knows about sports. So let's take an example of, like, there's a NBA Finals. Let's just pretend for the NBA, to discuss the NBA for as an example. There's an NBA finals. Now, whichever team wins the finals, then they give an award called the MVP for the finals. And then they celebrate that individual. So let's say it's basketball player X, okay? He gets the MVP for the finals. But the reality is that the only reason there's an MVP for finals is because we as human beings are not able to capture all of the intricate details that went into that. For example, there's a whole season behind that winning of the NBA finals. There was a whole season. People had to sacrifice for each game and prepare for each game and prep for each game. And some people contributed at one point in the season. Other people contributed at other points in the season. But that NBA, the person who gets the NBA final award, right, MVP of the finals, that award doesn't capture all the work that went into getting that team to win the finals. That award just captures a very, very small little subset. But this guy did some funny kind of slam like this way and then a slam like that way. And, you know, people got excited. And so they gave him the award for the finals. Then beyond that, even within each game or within the series, there's four other players. Right? If it's the NBA, there's four players on the court with him, and then there's a bench behind him. And there's no way they would have won the finals unless everybody was contributing at that point. I mean, it's not that there's just one MVP. Everybody gives a piece, and that's what allows success to occur. Now, the reality is that we as human beings, we don't have the ability to appreciate, we don't have the memory, we don't have the bandwidth to be able to capture every single little detail that occurs. We just don't have that ability. So we, as human beings, we tend to attribute things very simplistically. That, oh, this occurred because of this, and this occurred because of this. I mean, you know, they give an award for somebody who gets a great scientific discovery. They give him the Nobel Prize. But, I mean, how did he get the Nobel Prize? Or how did she get the Nobel Prize? Somebody educated them in kindergarten. They started with their parents, and then their parents made decisions about what schools to send them to. And then they had teachers who were teaching them in first grade, kindergarten, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. They got inspired. They came into company with people who were also studying, and they bumped into those people inspired them. And then they had good people in their lab, and somebody came in the middle of the night and was mopping the floors and cleaning the trash can so the lab can function. I mean, there's so many components to what allows someone to do what they do, but the vast majority of it is never captured. 99.9999%, even more, and I'm just giving an example, is just never captured. Now, we have these accolades, you know, this person did this, and this person did that, and this person achieved this, and this person's that, but the reality is there's so much behind it. Now, and what brings peace to the heart of the Muslim, now this would be extremely depressing, honestly. You know, if there was only one MVP and nobody ever got credit for anything that they did, and if there was only one person that built the masjid and nobody ever got credit for what they did, and if there was only one person that was seen as the one who did something but nobody ever got credit for what they did, it would be super depressing because we would never have any hope. But one important feature of a person who begins to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that as they approach Allah, it becomes very, very clear to them that nothing ever escapes our Lord. Nothing ever escapes our Lord. That brings a tremendous amount of peace to the heart of any person who makes any effort towards anything. Because look, I mean, there's a masjid, right? And let's say there's a bunch of people building a masjid. There's somebody that laid every single brick. And it's not easy, you know, to take the mortar and lay down a straight line and then put a brick and then put some more mortar and then put another brick. And I can tell you that if all of us sat together and just tried to make one wall, it would be crooked if we could even make it stand straight. But somebody made some effort. Now, nobody's ever going to remember that effort, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes and records and captures and eventually rewards. Every single thing is captured by Allah, and it's never lost, and it will all be taken into account, and everyone will get what they deserve. Now, it works both ways. You know, for evil to occur, it requires a lot of effort for evil to occur, and you tend to capture one criminal, but you don't necessarily capture all the henchmen. But all of that's being recorded, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring everyone to account, good and bad. Now, why is that important for the believer? As a see, the person in this world, the person who bounces around the reality of or whatever the minimal existence that exists that's present in this life, they get very caught up in superficialities. How come I'm not in the newspaper article? How come I'm not on the cover of a magazine? How come I wasn't the person that was featured, right? Because they're looking for the accolades of the people of this world. So if I'm a basketball player and I think that I was the one who had the most assists on the team, even though this other guy won the award because he made the final 3-point at the buzzer that allowed us to win game 7, and nobody remembers games 6 through 1, right? An athlete would go into depression, and they do. They get completely crazy over this stuff. You know, how come I'm not receiving my due reward? How come I'm not getting my due credit? How come people don't see all the effort that I made? But the reality is that for a Muslim, they are always, you could say that they receive peace. Their heart comes to peace because they recognize that it doesn't matter what people think. People are very limited. People are not able. And even if they gave me credit, they would be giving me such a limited credit that it's not worth it. Reality is that Allah knows and captures and rewards abundantly and perpetually. Even the guy who wins the MVP, you know, in game 7, the next year, everyone's going to forget about him. Forget about next year. 3 days later, everybody forgets about him and their minds go to something else because human beings don't have the ability to even capture that for very long periods of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all, hears all, sees all, and rewards all, and that reward will be perpetual and never forgotten. It's not that you'll do something for the sake of Allah and he'll give you a reward and then forget about you and then you move on and the next person's getting a reward. Our reward will be such that it is perpetual. It is absolute. It is complete. It's all-encompassing. It captures every single thing that we did and it goes till eternity. No one offers such a bargain. No one offers such a bargain. Now, that brings tremendous peace to the heart of the Muslim. Because I don't have to win the Nobel Prize. I just have to make the best effort. And if people see it or don't see it, it doesn't make a difference. I don't have to be the one that necessarily, you know, is the one standing in the front. In fact, it's often better to be standing behind because I will get the same reward. I don't have to worry about what people think. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will capture it, recognize it, and reward it perpetually on the Day of Judgment. So this is something that brings tremendous peace to the heart of the Muslim. This is why when a person begins to approach Allah, one of the features of their approach to Allah is that they gain a tremendous amount of peace because they become relieved from seeking the accolades and appreciation of the people around them. And they come into a sphere where they recognize that Allah always appreciates the believer. Allah will appreciate the believer in this life through his own way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the believer and appreciate them in the hereafter. Now, it doesn't matter who it is. It's not like, you know, this only applies to the MVP or the person who, seemingly is the leader of an organization or a group or whatever it might be. It applies to everybody in this room. Because when we do things for the sake of Allah, then and only then will we be able to attain peace in our hearts. Otherwise, we'll always be battling with the world around us. You know, I'll just give you an example. I mean, the vast majority of the people in the room, either they're parents or they have parents or they'll be parents one day, right? I mean, that just applies to everybody. Now, a parent puts in so much effort for their children. A parent puts in so much effort for their children. Day and night, 24/7, over decades. And you know what happens in the end? The child grows up. And when the child grows up, they eventually move on. Either they go to college and they get busy in their own things, or they get married and they get involved in their own life, and those are good things. But then it leaves the parent sitting in a corner thinking, wait a minute, I pull all this effort in, nobody's appreciating that. Nobody appreciates that. Well, yes, if we did it for the sake of seeking accolades from other people, then it's lost. Because everybody moves on. Human beings move on. Everyone is temporary. And every circumstance is temporary. So if I'm looking for my children to appreciate me for every little thing that they did, for that I did, first of all, they will never be able to do so. They will never be able to do so. Because we know that from so many previous discussions, that just the mere carrying of a child by the mother can never be appreciated. Forget about what everything else that the mother does and then everything else that the father does. There's no way. There's no way that a child could ever appreciate what their parents do. Now, the deen creates a little bit of a, what do you call that? Not a complete measurement of something, but when you measure something instead.
Proxy.
Like a proxy, but I'm looking for another word. Anyway, nobody appreciates what I'm thinking. No, I'm just joking. A surrogate. Okay. I mean, the Sharia creates a little bit of a surrogate, you know, that, okay, you know, your parents, you have to respect them. You have to treat them this way because not because the parents need to be treated that way. Allah will reward the parents the way Allah will reward the parents on the day of judgment. But because we as human beings have to learn shukr and we have to learn that we are not just living in some sort of vacuum, but that we are something because of something else. Because of the people who put time into us, because of our teachers, because of our parents, because of our mentors, because of our family, because of our community, because of our neighbors, because of all the people around us that all come together as one in order for us to be able to achieve our goals. I mean, that responsibility the Sharia places upon our shoulders as a surrogate to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward people in the end. So yeah, we have to make an effort that, you know, we learn that, but the reality is that no one can ever reward a mother for just the mere carrying of her child for 9 months. Just that. Just the sacrifice of their body and their health and their daily routine that they were in. I mean, no child can ever pay a mother back for that. Not even one labor pain. Not even one labor pain can a child ever pay back. But who will? Now that's depressing. Great. So I do all this stuff. I work for my kids for 20 years. Great. So now, you know what? What good is all that? You know, might as well just forget about it because it's so depressing. You know, that's not going to get me anywhere in life. But that's not the point. Because the Muslim knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes every single moment of every single sacrifice that was done for every single child, from the first child on this planet to the last child on this planet. And that Allah captures it, recognizes it, multiplies it, rewards it. I mean, so what is a Muslim? So why should a Muslim ever be left feeling that they were not appreciated? Because the reality is that Allah always appreciates. And it applies in every single thing. I mean, you know, people go to work all the time and they say, I get these emails, you know, my boss doesn't appreciate me. Well, yeah, your boss does, because the real boss, who is Allah, appreciates everything. Appreciates everything. Every single thing that we do in order, with an intention for Allah's sake, whether that be to benefit the people around us or to, you know, earn a halal income or to do good for others, Allah captures that. Allah captures all that. Now, you know how sad it would be if we had only expectations from others and we did everything only for them, thinking that they would reciprocate that, and we didn't do it for the sake of Allah. That becomes depressing. Because then when they don't reciprocate, because they never can, and even if they tried, they would never be able to. But when they don't reciprocate, then we're left in a corner by ourselves being bitter about life. How could it be that these people did this to me? How can it be that I'm a teacher and my students don't respect me? How can it be that I'm an imam and the community doesn't respect me? How can it be that I'm a parent and my children don't respect me? How can it be that I'm a spouse and my spouse doesn't respect me? So those people become bitter. Those people are left alone. But if a person knows from day one that Allah entrusted me with this child, so I, as a person who has been given this responsibility and blessing, will do everything in my power to make sure that the child is raised the way they should be raised, and then expects a reward from Allah, they will never be left empty-handed. Honestly, it's the other way around. They will be given so much that they won't be able to believe that they received that much on the day of judgment. It'll be the other way. It'll be the opposite. They'll get more than they ever envisioned. They'll get more than they ever imagined. Now, this applies to everything. This applies to everything because human beings have a very limited ability to capture all that goes on. So we, as people of Deen, we should appreciate a few things. Number one is that everything we do should be done for the sake of Allah. Otherwise, it's wasted. We don't need people's attention or their thanks or their award. You know, if they give it, that's fine. That's separate. That's from Allah. You know, so long as we approach it with humility. But we don't need it, and it doesn't mean anything. We only want Allah's pleasure. We want to make sure that we are always pleasing Allah, that we do things only for the sake of Allah, that everything that guides us is basically fi sabilillah. That has to be the attitude. Now, when a person has that attitude, they're at tremendous peace, because if it means that they swept the masjid and nobody saw it, but Allah saw. They laid a brick and nobody saw it, but Allah saw. You know, if they sat up in the middle of the night and they were calculating what the engineering was, Allah saw. And Allah sees, and Allah records, and Allah captures, and Allah rewards. And that's exactly what the purpose of anything that we do is to begin with. I mean, if I have children and I want them to be raised as Muslims, it's for the sake of Allah. It's for my own benefit. I hope that Allah rewards me. That's what it's all about. So this is what we as human beings have to, this is what we appreciate. The more a person does the dhikr of Allah, the more a person expands themselves in their connection to Allah, the more content they become with everything around them. This is why Rasulullah, I mean, look, you know, honestly, just think about what person on the planet does more for anyone and receives the least amount in return. It's the prophets. It's the prophets. They gave us everything that's meaningful. We should be at their footsteps. And yet, you know, I mean, there's Sahaba and they appreciated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you eventually get generation to generation and, you know, we become ghafil. But you see that the prophets are still praying for us. I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying for the generations to come because they did it for the sake of Allah. They weren't concerned about what other people around them thought. They didn't expect a reward or ask for a reward. They just wanted that people be in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we as people who are striving to deepening our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that we have to learn to digest. And I'll tell you that once a person learns to digest this, it brings so much peace in their life and it eliminates so much conflict. Because so much of conflict between human beings is because people don't think that they're getting the respect that they deserve. This is basically like, you know, of the four or five things, there's like a few big things that create conflict amongst human beings. One of the things that generally creates conflict amongst good human beings, there's some just people are wicked, you know, they just create conflict because that's just the shaitan in them. But I'm saying when you have good human beings together in a relationship, in a, let's say in a circumstance or opportunity or a sacrifice, whatever it might be, one of the common things that creates conflict is that people don't feel they're being appreciated for what they do. You know, like you're at a university and people are all working together on some big discovery. And I mean, they're generally good people. They're not there because they're, you know, trying to poison the world. They're just striving towards discovering something that'll benefit humanity. But what comes in that equation often, what comes in between that relationship often, and you know, I see this all the time, people begin to worry who's going to get credit for the discovery. Who's going to get credit on the paper? You know, they publish these papers and then they have a first author, second author, third author, and last author. Then they say, who's going to be the first author? Who's going to be the last author? Because that's the one that's going to get the most credit on their CV. That's the one who's going to get the most credit in academia. So you start seeing these conflicts that are arising amongst people who have very good general intentions of service and discovery and advancement of humanity. But what is it? What's the conflict being created by? It's being created by this desire for who's going to get appreciated. But the Muslim is at total peace. Because the Muslim recognizes, number one, there's nobody on this planet that can't appreciate what I do. For many reasons. Number one, nobody can see me all the time. Nobody can hear me all the time. Nobody can read my intention or my heart all the time. Number two, I'm unable to even do things that deserve to be appreciated. So if people really knew what I was able to do, they wouldn't appreciate me anyway. But once I connect myself to Allah, all of that's alleviated. Because Allah hears all, sees all, knows all, and accepts from me despite knowing all. So that's for me very comforting. And it brings a tremendous amount of peace. And I don't have to worry because I know that even 500 years from now, when I go in the ground and there's nobody on the planet that remembers me, Allah knows. Nobody's going to remember anybody in this room 500 years from now. Even if you win the Nobel Prize, nobody will remember you 500 years from now. Nobody's going to remember what happened 500 years ago. Nobody cares. People just care about what's happening with them. But Allah knows. Allah has captured. Allah has recorded. And Allah will give each person their due such that no one will ever be left feeling empty. In fact, it will be the opposite. Everybody will feel feel more fulfilled than they could have ever imagined. That's the bargain of deen. That's the bargain of deen. Now, the only way that we lose on that is when we begin to do things or expect things from others. When we begin to do things for the sake of others or have an expectation of something from others. We don't want that on the Day of Judgment. We're told, well, you expected your reward from those people, so go get it from them when they have nothing to offer to begin with. That would be depressing. That would be depressing that on the Day of Judgment, when it's made all clear that actually the only opinion that mattered was Allah's opinion, and the only one who has the ability to appreciate is Allah, and the only one who has the ability to reward is Allah, we don't want to be told on that day, well, you were seeking the attention of these people by raising your name or you're trying to raise your fame, so go take your reward from these people. And there are circumstances like that in hadith where we're told, where people are told to go seek their reward from the people whose attention they were seeking. We only do what we do for the sake of Allah. We only expect a reward from Allah. We know that only Allah can capture what we do. So that should bring us peace. That's something that allows us to elevate ourselves above the human interactions that we have with the people that are around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are constantly conscious of Him. May He make us amongst those who are performing their deeds only for His sake. And may He make us among those who are abundantly rewarded for focusing upon His pleasure.